ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, titled as Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text number 23. Tatra Gandharvam Akarnya. तत्र गांधर्वं अकर्ण्या दिव्यमार्गमनोरगम् दिव्यमार्गमनोहरम् विविष्म्युराजपुत्रस्ते मृदंगापनवाडि अनु तत्र गंधर्वम् अकर्ण्या दिव्यमार्गमनोहरम् विशिष्म्युराजपुत्रस्ते मृदंगापनवाडि अनु तत्र देर गांधर्वम् musical sounds. Akarnya, hearing. Divya, heavenly. Marga, symmetrical. Manaharam, beautiful. Vishishmyu, they became amazed. Rajaputra, all the sons of King Barishat. Ti, all of them. Mridanga, drums. Panava, kettle drums. Adi, all together. Anu, always. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The sons of the king became very amazed when they heard vibrations from various drums and kettle drums along with other orderly musical sounds pleasing to the ear. So we'll repeat the translation responsively. The sons of the king became very much amazed when they heard vibrations from various drums and kettle drums.
Along with other orderly musical sounds pleasing to the ear.
So it's a very short purport by Srila Prabhupada, very short one. So let us listen attentively. In addition to the various flowers and living entities about the lake, there were also many musical vibrations. The void of the impersonalist, which has no variegatedness, is not at all pleasing compared with such a scene. Actually, one has to attain the perfection of Sachit Ananda, eternity, bliss and knowledge. Because the impersonalist deny these varieties of creation, they cannot actually enjoy transcendental bliss. The place where the Prachetas arrived was the abode of Lord Shiva. Impersonalists are generally worshippers of Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva is never without variety in his abode. Thus, wherever one goes, whether to the planet of Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, or Lord Brahma, there is variety to be enjoyed by persons full in knowledge and bliss. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahi Tadati Swarupa. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Chapter 24, okay. Now just giving a very quick prelude of what's happened before. Maitreya Muni is explaining to Vithura about the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj in the previous canto, in the previous earlier chapters. And he also explained to Vithura how Maharaj Prithu went back to Godhead. He was explaining that. And after that, he also was mentioning to Vithura about the descendants of King Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj had many sons. Yes? Of that, the prominent one was, prominent one is there always. And his name was? Vijitvasa of Antaradana. That's commonly known as. Like, our Srila Prabhupada has got a name as what? Yeah, that is all our Vichitrava. But the pet name is Prabhupada. But his name is Srila Bhakti. Yeah, Bhaichara, big name actually. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So we call his Prabhupada, right? Like that, he has got many names. And the common name which was said is Antardana. Now he had a son. His name was? Havirdana. Very good. I think you're following the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Okay. Now, Havirdana had a son and his name was? Prachiniya Bharat. Okay. Now, Prachiniya Bharat had how many sons?
10 sons.
And those sons' names were Prachetas. So, we are going to study about that. That is a verse we have come to. So, the Prachetas has been ordered by their father, Prachiniya Bharat, to do meditation before increasing the progeny of the material world. Yeah? Because they are Prachapatis, okay? They want to increase the population. So before you increase the population, you have to go on a serious austerities. So they were looking for a place to perform austerities. Like, sometimes, you know, we also look for some place in the temple, you know, to chant nicely. But we can't find because everyone is busy with Krishna service. So in the same way, they were looking, which is a place, you know, for us to do austerity, because his father has ordered them to do the austerity. Very severe austerities in those days. Not like us, you know. Very severe austerities. So as they were looking, they came across
Lord Shiva.
That is, finally, before that, they came through a place, a lake, where they were full of... Yesterday, Karunanidhi Prabhu was mentioning it.
Albert Lake.
Like Albert Lake, you know. Very nice, serene, you know, condition. They had nice plants, trees, and the bumblebees and all that. And it is said that the plants and the trees, in the previous verse, that they like it when the birds and the bees comes around them and sits on them. See? Because they're also living entities. Okay? They're finding jolly, happy. They said in the previous verse. Now, this verse is continuing where the Pratyetas have come to that lake, you know, basically. And yeah, when they have come, they were amazed because they could hear some musical vibrations coming out from the lake. Kettle drums, you know. When you come at 7 o'clock, you know, for the arati, you know how you have the music. In the same way, the music is coming from the lake. And this lake is supposed to be the abode of Lord Shiva. So the Lord Shiva was living in the lake. Yesterday you asked a question, isn't it? How come Lord Shiva's abode is, you know, Kailash? Someone asked. But he was in the lake. Lord Shiva came. You asked, Prabhu. But he asked, correct? You forgot the question. I remember the question. See, yeah? Okay, someone asked, you know, but I could not differentiate. She asked, good. But I could not distinguish a voice. It was looking like, you know, it was coming very feebly. Okay. So, Lord Shiva was living in that lake. And soon, Prabhu, as you said, the Pratyachas are going to see Lord Shiva, who is going to give an instruction how to meditate on Krishna and to have a darshan of Krishna, which they are going to do. And eventually, you see, we are not going to discuss this today. Eventually, we'll see that Pratyachas, they were in the water for how many years? 10,000 years inside water, meditating on the Lord. And Lord Vishnu also came into the water. So meditating on me, I do not have to come up. You do not have to come up. I will come into the water. So Lord Vishnu also went along with Garuda into the water to give darshan for them. So, I was just thinking, why did the Pratyetas want to choose a place, right? Like the very calm place for the meditation. What's the purpose?
They won't be disturbed.
Yes. It won't be disturbed. Because what's happening is basically, we as conditioned soul, or we as neophytes, we are very easily
disturbed
by the senses and the mind. Because what's happening is, when we look, when we watch, when we see and all that, when we go around, the senses are constantly collecting inputs, right? And puts into the mind. And the mind is agitated. This is going on. Whether you want it or not, whether you like it or not, this is going on. Constantly. And the mind is agitated. So, if you select a place, which is preferably in the mode of goodness, then your meditation will be good. Your sadhana will be good. So if you take your chanting bead to a complex, Southland or a Chadston complex, can you chant properly? No. Yes? No. Can you chant? Why you can't chant?
Because other people are disturbing it.
It's constantly entering. It's very difficult. So that is the reason. Any place in the mode of goodness is very effective, conducive for spiritual life. Because it's very cool and easy to observe. Here also, you know, see, when someone comes to a temple, it is in the mode of transcendence. Spiritual, completely. Everything is spiritual. Krishna's place, where he's living. Krishna's prasadam. Krishna's name, Krishna's service, everything is Aigriva, transcendental, spiritual. You're listening? Spiritual, right? It is beyond the three modes. Everything is spiritual. Krishna's names, Krishna's pastimes, everything spiritual. This is a place which Srila Prabhupada has given us, completely transcendental, beyond the three modes. The moment you chant, Krishna puts you in the spiritual energy. The moment you do Krishna's service, he puts you in the spiritual energy. Because his soul, right? His soul is part of Krishna. He puts you. And the moment you go to the three modes, we will come down. Not Krishna will put us back. We will come down. Again, we have to chant. We have to do Krishna's service to come up. And the moment we forget Krishna, or we forget Krishna's service, or we don't do Krishna's service, what happens? Come down again. So we are going up and down like that. So, one has to constantly maintain the sadhana. Be constantly in the spiritual energy. Then, one's mind will be peaceful and the heart will be light. How many of you have seen that when you wake up, your heart is very heavy? I'm just asking this question. And then, when you chant and when you meet devotees, when you do little bit of devotion service, your heart becomes light. Have you experienced that? I have experienced most of the time. When you wake up, right? You wake up with a very heavy heart. You know, something is going on. Mind is disturbed. Immediately pick up the chanting bead. You do a few rounds. Settles. Very peaceful. Isn't it? This is the potency of holy name and devotional service. Because devotional service starts with Shravanam and Kirtanam. Primary aspect of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam. Primary aspect. Hearing and chanting. Then only everything comes later. Hearing, chanting. Primary aspect. We should never, never, never deviate from this. Hearing about Krishna, chanting. Chanting about Krishna, hearing. Then everything else will follow. Primary aspect of devotion service. So, in the Vedic system, why are they doing austerities? Why are the prachetas? Why are they? Say, in between, I'll be asking questions, okay? So that you don't fall asleep. That's the whole point. And I also don't fall asleep. Okay? Because this weather is like that. It puts everyone to sleep.
Were they doing it to become purified before they increase the population?
Correct. And as I said, in the Vedic times, right, austerity is very important. Whether you want to produce a new body or whether you want to end up the body without going through another body, austerity is very important. But we are not following now, right? If you want to introduce a new body into this world, austerity. If you want to stop the cycle of birth and death, austerity. So that is a Vedic system. But everything has been changed by IT. Information technology. That's a problem. So this is a Vedic system. Why they are doing that? Why they are doing that, Prabhu? In the Vedic system, why austerity is so much insisted, emphasized, pressurized, you can say, not pressurized basically, it's out of their own will, people are doing it. Why there is so much importance for austerities, which is not in this dynage?
Because they know the human form of life is meant for austerities. That's the best way to achieve self-realization. You have to beat the body.
Correct.
You have to discipline it in order to...
See, in our process, we don't beat the body. We take nice prasadam. So the prasadam beats the body. Any Krishna service, nicely you do, that beats up the body. Okay, so you got the point. So in the olden times, in the Vedic times, we are doing all this because in the Vedic times, I agree, one, the process is to move from body to soul. That is a process which is not existing now. Everyone knows that I am a spirit soul. And therefore, I am embodied now. I've got a gross body and a subtle body. This is the understanding of everyone, regardless of whatever caste, creed, nation, whatever you are. Everyone had some understanding. Whether Hindu, Christian, Muslim, doesn't matter. So, their purpose is to move from body to soul. And therefore, they have to do austerity. Why austerity is emphasized? Because the mind's food is pleasure. The mind's want enjoyment. That is why the senses are given. Krishna has given 10 senses. 5 knowledge occurring senses and 5 working senses. What are they doing? All want some pleasure. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, no sense gratification whatsoever, material. But this can be replaced by Krishna's service, where the senses are happy and naturally you feel very blissful. It's a natural process. But if you look for happiness in the material world, it will only end up in distress. That is how it is created. The very nature of the body, if you see, the body is analyzed. If you analyze the body, every part of the body has got problems. Tell me a part of the body which you don't have a problem. 2 weeks back, suddenly when I woke up, my eyes, this eyes was very red. Completely red. I was thinking, what's going on, you know? This eye completely red. And, you know, and the next day also become very reddish, you know. So when I came here, you know, I got my service. When I came here, I was thinking, what's going on, you know. But I was also thinking. Then I left it for a day. Then I was quite busy the other day, the following day, that I did not have time to go to the doctor. Then I thought, okay, sometimes the pharmacist a little bit smarter than the doctor. You know, chemist? Because they are dealing with most of the medicine. The doctor has been told to give the medicine and therefore he gives. I'm not saying they're not knowledgeable, they're good. But sometimes the pharmacist, they're dealing and knows. So I straight away went to him. I said, listen, he understood. I go to him sometimes. He knows me like that. So I asked him, see, this is the thing. I don't want antibiotic, on a very mild, gentle thing, so that tomorrow I'll go and see the GP and all that. Yeah, 1 second, let me finish. So he gave a drop. He said, it's very, very safe. Anyone can use that. Even pregnant ladies can use. That safe is it, you know. So you can use that and all that. So I've used it, it's gone. So I did not want that eyes to burn or to have problems. But it came. Every part of the body has got problems. From the top till the toe. You see, nail infection. One may think, what is the problem with the toe? You know nail infection? Have anyone got a nail infection? Oh, I tell you, it's so painful. You can't even do anything, you know. The tip of the nail will be paining. So if you analyze, the whole body is subjected to, you know, pain and suffering only. But the mind wants enjoyment. Look at the trick, you know, how the mind is tricking. So this needs spiritual intelligence. With the spiritual intelligence, you can control the mind and the senses. With the material intelligence, it's very difficult to control. Someone could be a CEO of a company, but they got material intelligence. Therefore, they cannot control the senses. Someone else may not be educated. They got spiritual intelligence. They can become a devotee. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada made a systematic study of all the scriptures, including Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very, very important. They give you spiritual knowledge that you are not this body. One. And Srila Prabhupada, his unique contribution is that everyone spoke about the soul. Soul, you are spiritual. But Srila Prabhupada is the one who said, you are not this body. It's very difficult to understand. See, I am a soul and soul. But to know that you are a soul, you should not be something. So Srila Prabhupada said, you are not the body. And now it's very easy to understand. Yes, I am not this body. That means, what should I do? What are the activities I should do which should not be pertaining to this body? No one has really gone deep to say that you are not the body. Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON statement, not the body. So when you think, you keep on thinking, I'm not the body. If I'm not the body, why the body is there? Then again, you ask a lot of questions. And slowly, you get answer for that. Right? So if you are not the body, scriptures are saying, why do you act on the body? So that is an intelligent question you have to ask. Because a body is embodied. We are spirit soul. We are part of Krishna. We are spiritual in nature. There is no death for the soul. There is death only for the body. Because a body is constantly changing. You see in this room, the child is there. The body is constantly changing. Childhood to boyhood to youth, to adolescent, to old age, to death. The body changes. The body gets the death, not the soul. So this knowledge is very, very important for us. Otherwise, you'll be deviant. Because the mind wants pleasure. The mind's food is pleasure. The soul wants service. Always we are in a dilemma. What to do? Do we have to do Krishna service or do we have to enjoy our senses? Isn't it? Because the senses are given. See, people who don't know this concept, what do they think? Senses, eyes are there, I will see the movie. Tongue is there, I will go and drink. Isn't it? Because they don't have the knowledge. But we know, no, we are spirit soul, we are not the body. Therefore, I will use all my senses in Krishna's service, which is higher. Because if you perform something with your senses, materially, it will drag you down. By performing service to Krishna, it will lift you up. And that happiness keeps on growing higher and higher. The material happiness, so-called happiness, it pull you down and it becomes very dejected. But the spiritual is higher and higher. Every day you go higher. It's a very big science to understand. That you will understand only if you meditate on, I am not this body. And that is why Srila Prabhupada's preaching, his books are very, very important. I am always emphasizing this point. You are not this body. You are not this body. Okay. Now, in this purport, okay, so we'll move on. Okay, so the purpose of austerities is for the conditioned soul to move from body to soul. And this was a method that was followed in the Vedic system. But now this method is forgotten. Therefore, we have to Srila Prabhupada is reintroducing the system, and he says that that's due to forgetfulness of Krishna. As long as you forget Krishna, you will be on the bodily platform. If you remember Krishna, immediately you realize that you are a spirit soul. This is the power of Krishna consciousness. Everyone can try this experiment. It's not limited to someone or anyone. Some are one person. It is open to everyone. Everyone can try that. So, because Srila Prabhupada talks about the impersonalist, okay? It's a philosophy. So, we'll discuss a little bit about the philosophies, you know, so that we have a good understanding. Over thousands of years, all over the world, we have seen a lot of philosophies. Time and again. A lot of philosophies will come and they'll be twisted or they'll be oriented and, you know, they'll be mixed up and all that. So many philosophies are there, you know. So many philosophies. But all these philosophies which are existing can be broadly classified into four groups. Four philosophies. Any philosophy. It will come under the four groups. What are the groups? We'll see quickly. Anyone think of that? Philosophy, groups. No. The first, I'll give a start, you know, I'll give a starting, we have a starting problem. We'll start, then it'll flow. The first one is personalist. Why are you going there? Start with Krishna. Personalist. Devotees. So what do we do? What is the philosophy? We follow scriptures. Systematically we'll study, okay? Rather than going random. What we do? We follow scriptures. We author. Okay. Now scriptures confirm the Supreme Personality of God as our supreme absolute truth. All the scriptures. Doesn't matter. Skanda Purana, Shiva Purana. Doesn't matter. Anything. Any Purana you take. Right? The authenticity of Krishna is approved. Valid. Okay, we follow scriptures and we confirm that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore any person, a personality has got a form, And therefore we worship Krishna's form. And we do service to him. And through the service, we get absolute happiness. Complete happiness. Bliss. This is our process. It's a personal interaction. Because Krishna is a supreme person. We are tiny spark. By reciprocating or by doing service, Krishna reciprocates. Who is a reservoir of happiness. And therefore, your happiness continues. And therefore, we'll try to do service, happiness continues. This is personless. The next one is, do someone wants to bring a chair for Mataji? You want to sit on Mataji? The second one is yogis. Yogis. Okay? What do the yogis do? They also worship the personal form of the Lord, but not outside.
In the heart.
In the heart. They worship the yogi in the heart. But most of the yogis are sidetracked and they go after mystic perfections. Siddhis. I want to become smaller than the smallest. If, why do they do that? To protect the body. I am in a complex. Suddenly there is a fire. I'm locked up. I will become smaller and I'll enter. I'll free myself. I become like a small ant. You know, just protecting the body, basically. Smaller than the small, bigger than the biggest. I'll become biggest and I'll scare everyone. Get my job done. Basically, that is the bottom line. So second type is yogis. But most of them are sidetracked because of the mystic siddhis. Yeah? Material opulences. That's called as material opulences. The material opulences we call now is a car and a house and all that stuff. But actually, possessing a mystic siddhi is a mystic is opulence, material opulence. It was known as before the call. The third type is, it'd be easier for you now. We have discussed personless yogis. What could be the third one? Impersonless, which Srila Prabhupada is talking about. Right? Now, impersonless, they accept that they are spirit soul. Okay, like us. They also follow scriptures. But when it comes to serving, they believe that the Supreme Lord is a force, energy. He doesn't have a form. Therefore, they minimize his form as an energy. For example, there is water. Water is there. Now, taste is one of the energy of water. Taste. It's got force, whatever it may be. Yeah. Buoyancy, so many properties are there. Taste is there. Now the impersonalist want to taste water without knowing where it comes from. But we know water is coming. Water is a energy, material energy of the Lord, right? Bhumi apo nala vayukam mano buddhi evacha ankaretyamme binna prakriti astida. Krishna says, these are my eight material energies. Water is one of the Lord's energy. That's why it's so powerful. So, they taste the water and they don't appreciate Krishna. But a devotee, what does he do? He tastes water and he knows that this water is the Lord's energy. It's coming from the Lord. And therefore, we link it to the Lord. But the impersonalists don't link it. And therefore, what happens? They don't do service to Krishna and Krishna doesn't reciprocate with them. How Krishna reciprocates is, if you serve him 10%, he will reciprocate 10%. If you, you know, reciprocate with him 80%, he will reciprocate. If you reciprocate 0% with him, he will reciprocate 0% with you. So all the materialists, they don't want to reciprocate with him. 0%. Krishna also 0% with him. That's how the Lord works. We can all try. You reciprocate. He's a supreme person. Like for example, yeah, we are all persons, right? If I look at you, you smile, you also smile. But sometimes you don't. Like Hari Griva. If I talk to him, Hare Krishna, you say Hare Krishna. But if I don't want to talk, if I don't want to come to the temple, I don't want to look at the Lord, I don't want to chant one round also, what kind of person am I? Why will Krishna reciprocate with you? After knowing this philosophy, if you don't know, it is okay. We know. We have heard, we have seen Krishna at the altar. And therefore, if we don't reciprocate by chanting and hearing about Krishna, Krishna will not reciprocate. He's not bound to do that. But so that is our situation. Okay, this is impersonalist. Okay? Now, all the demons are attracted to this policy. Yeah? Why? After death, they want to merge with Krishna and want to be on equal par with Krishna and want to call themselves as supreme. But in our process, what is our process? After we die, do we become Krishna? We have to get this point right. So what do we become? We still servants. Jivere Swarupoi? Krishnere Nitya Das. Because by serving Krishna only, you get the pleasure. This is our policy. But they want to become equal to Krishna so that they don't want to serve him and they don't want to surrender to him. And therefore, they have problems. What is the problem? Even after liberation, when they want to merge with the Lord, because there is no activity, the soul is very active in nature. Look at Hari Griva. Every second he's going, he's doing, he's looking, how acting. It's not the body, it's the soul. Right? Very active. Now, the active person, when we put into an inactive light, into a 1,000, 50, 80,000 watts lamp, what will we do? We have to fall down. So they'll come back and do some philanthropic activities. Because soul is very active. So this is impersonalism. Now, in the West, what is happening is, lot of this new, what you call deviations are coming, where people don't even accept authority. You know, the impersonalism, you know, it's coming. And therefore, they're completely developing a demonic mentality. Because I am talking about the impersonalists in the past, which has got two types. The impersonalists themselves in that group has got two branches or two types. What are they? One is Brahmavadi and the other one is Mayavadi. Mayavadi is completely eliminated. You don't want to talk about them because they defy the Lord and they completely deny the existence of the Lord, to some degree, the form of the Lord, basically. But they are worshipping the Lord so that they want to become Lord in the future. So they are completely ruled out. But in our case, Mayavadi is, the Brahmavadi is the one we are mentioning about. So who is Brahmavadi? Brahmavadi is the one which you are talking about. He's got a realization that he's a spirit soul and he accepts the authority of the Vedas. But his knowledge is incomplete. He thinks that Krishna is in the energy form, light form. But he doesn't know. So he's not aware of that. Who are the examples of Brahmavadi in Srimad Bhagavatam who by the association of devotees become pure? The four Kumaras. How did they become? They were Brahmavadis. Okay? How did they become devotees? By smelling the tulasi leaves coming from the lotus feet of Krishna. Then they said, it's so nice smell. See the senses. And they wanted to see the person. Who is it? Where is it coming? And they looked at Lord Narayan. And that's it. And another famous example is Sukadeva Goswami. When he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his own father, he was attracted. Oh, the pastimes. See? Shravanam. So nice. So he was attracted and he became a devotee. So Brahmavadis have got a chance to become devotees. But Mayavadis are never. So we don't want to talk about them. Okay. So I'm just saying this is the Brahmavadi type. But these days, again as I said, there's a lot of, a new mix match wherein impersonalism has come to a point where the Vedas are not accepted and there is no realization that they are spirit soul. Absolutely no realization. The last one is, what is that? Voidist. So we have seen personless, we have seen impersonless, and then yogis, and then voidist. What is the voidist philosophy? Voidist. They don't believe in soul. This is completely gone case. They don't believe in soul. They don't accept the authority of Vedas. And therefore, they'll do whatever they want. They're atheistic. And finally, they think that everything is zero. After I die, there's nothing. I die, that's it. I'm not going anywhere. The body is burned, that's it, zero. The existence is zero. So they don't give importance to the existence, basically, what you have to do, you know. They've got their own ways. And this has been propagated by, this philosophy is propagated by Lord Buddha. Why did he do that? Why did Lord Buddha? Because Lord Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna. Okay? Now, why did Lord Buddha come and do that? That there is no soul. No, don't follow any authority.
Have mercy. Mercy for the souls who take birth in Kali Yuga and want to enjoy separately from Lord.
Could be, but there is a deeper reason.
People are eating flesh,
yes. At that time, people were following Vedas. This is prior to Buddha could come. So all are eating meat. And they're quoting, look at this. Vedas, you know. It's saying that you can eat meat on a new moon day. We can give the goat to Mother Kali and we can kill. So everyone has become meat eaters. Under the pretext of using Vedas, scriptures. So, Lord was thinking, what's the best way? So, you're using Vedas and quoting that, that is good and you can eat. So, reject Vedas. So, the Lord has to come and do that. And then, who again reinstated Vedas? Ankaracharya. Because he has to come. And in a disguised form, he has to say, accept Vedas. Because the Lord is like an impersonalist. He doesn't have, you know, a form. You know? Just accept it. Because at that time, he has to do like that. He has to give a wrong theory to make them understand. So, these are the four philosophies. And after knowing this philosophy, now we can easily, little to some degree, understand what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Isn't it? Because we know all this philosophy. What Srila Prabhupada is saying here is, because the impersonalists deny these varieties of creation, they cannot actually enjoy transcendental bliss. The impersonalists, they cannot enjoy transcendental bliss. Why? Why is that?
There's no relationships, no recognition of relationships.
Because transcendental bliss is a personal relationship with Krishna.
Sorry, Mataji.
Because transcendental bliss is the personal relationship with Krishna.
Yes. So what it is said is, Srila Prabhupada has often stated that, it's a very famous statement, I don't know if you know, variety is the mother of enjoyment. Have you heard that statement? If there is no variety, then there is no much enjoyment there. Isn't it? See, we all know that our body is made up of earth, water, fire and ether. If all of us have got the same body, all of us look alike, then there's no variety, there's nothing, no fun. Isn't it? Each one is separate and each one has got more nose like this, eyes like this, different forms. So there is variety. In South India, we have got only two items, rice and dal. You know how many varieties of dosas we can make? Huh? Yeah, urad dal dosa, this one dosa, you know, gram dosa, that dosa. Only rice and in the dal only.
Puri dosa.
Yeah, whatever you call. Yes, I agree. So many dosas. You like dosa? Okay. So this is like that. So many varieties are there. So as much as there are varieties in the material world, there are also varieties in the spiritual world. So much varieties are there. And this Maya, this impersonalist, they are denying the varieties. Because if they see Krishna as a light, they go and merge, there is no enjoyment. How much enjoyment we have, isn't it, with Krishna? All the senses are being, you know, taken care, but, you know, by especially the prasadam, we have Krishna's Mahaprasadam. Eyes to feast on Krishna, and we are all hearing Krishna's pastime, and tongue to taste Krishna's, and hands and legs to do service. How enjoyable is this? Is it enjoyable or no? Naturally, your senses are controlled. Naturally. Say, this Krishna conscious process is such wonderful that how it works is like this. Say, for example, Prabhupada is going to this. Say there is a white. Normally, for the Bhagavatam speaker, they leave some water, but even that is missing there. That is okay. Now, say, for example, there is a cup. Okay? Empty cup is there. Now, the empty cup, what is inside the empty cup? Air. Now, I want to make that cup empty, even free from air. So, what I do? Vacuum, right? I use vacuum, high power vacuum. You know vacuum? Okay. Vacuum, and I suck all the air. Right? I sucked all the air. And then, I remove the apparatus and again keep it on the table. What happens then? It again fills up. So, the mind is like that. When the mind is empty, it will say, you know, it will fill it up, you know, by saying the movies, whatever the movies you see, or songs, all this will come up and fill it up. It will never go. What is the best way to remove the air in the cup of water? In the cup? Yeah. So if you pour water, the air is naturally displaced. You need not have to do any extra effort. You don't need a vacuum. The cup is there, it has got water. Sorry, it has got air. As you pour water, the air is displaced. And the cup is full of water and there is no air. So in the same way, if our mind is filled up with Krishna, then all the external things will not interfere. This is a practical example. But for that, Krishna wants us to do some work. It is not available freely for you. Krishna wants us, he has given the senses, so he says, do this work, do my work. And then your mind will be full of me, and therefore you will not be attracted. Because when the cup is full of water, there is no way of air entering. This is a logic. But the impersonalists, they don't have this variety like us. Because we've got full of variety in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, it's very enjoyable. Because we've got senses. We have to use the senses. The senses are active. If I say, I don't like this Prabhu. I don't want to see you. I close my eyes. How long can I close my eyes? How long?
As long as it is in front of
you. Otherwise also, you know, my mind, I've already stored his image in the mind. Because he's my best friend. In mind, I stored his image. I cannot forget him. Right? So the senses has to be given positive actions. It's very active. So by doing service to Krishna, by becoming a devotee of Krishna, all the petty problems are solved. Very easy process. You do not have to do any extra endeavor. Become a devotee of Krishna, all your problems solved. How easy is it, right? Very, very easy process. Just endeavor, slowly. You don't have to jump. Slowly become a devotee of Krishna. All your problems will go away. Okay? My final point is, a lot of time, so problem. We can have one more story also. Telling a story. Okay. Now finally, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning a point, okay? All of you were observing all the points, isn't it? So you have to answer this point. The point is, impersonalists are generally worshippers of Lord Shiva. Why impersonalists are devotees of Lord Shiva? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Did he easily resist the devil?
Sorry, Mataji, I couldn't hear.
He gives people the desires.
Okay.
Easily pleased.
Yeah. He gives person the desires, and therefore, immediately, you know, they're satisfied. And they please. They are pleased, basically. But there is a little bit more to what I'm looking for.
Can I?
Yes, Prabhupada, please.
Can I do some speculation?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, speculation is allowed. Okay. Well, Shiva is actually the border of the material and spiritual realms.
Mm.
See, the Lord doesn't actually... It is said that Krishna doesn't touch the material energy. He does it through Shiva.
Krishna, the glands of Shiva.
Yeah,
Shiva. Tadashu.
Yeah, the functional incarnation of Vishnu, you know, the incarnation of the material world. So he is at the border. So if you want to, the impersonalist path is to retract your identification with material things. So you will get, eventually you get to the border, Shiva, that's the border. And he guards the spiritual realm. You can't pass through without his mercy. So I think that they worship him because they're trying to get to that border, but they don't want to worship Vishnu because they don't want personal relationships with the Lord like that. They just want to get out of the material world. So they worship Shiva at the corner. That's my speculation. Yeah. He's also in charge of the false ego. He's also linked to the Akash, the sky, the ether. Yes, these are all very dear to the impersonalists.
Looks like to some degree it's matching up the statement. That's right. Now, I'm going one step backwards, sorry. When we finish the four philosophies, right? Out of the four philosophies... I missed one point, I remember now. Out of the four philosophies, the first three, you know, which is personalist, impersonalist, and yogis, all of them accept Vedas. The void is they don't accept Vedas. And so, therefore, in short, we can see there are only three philosophies effective. Because if someone is not following Vedas authority, then it cannot be classified as a philosophy. Because they can concoct, you know, I can do whatever I want. So, in fact, the first three, they follow Vedas, and therefore you can say that the first three philosophers are the very active philosophers. So in line with that, what's happening is the three philosophers are trying to understand the Supreme Lord in different aspects. And therefore, these three stages of realization has come through. What is that? Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sabdete. That the Lord can be realized in three ways. One is as a light, and second as a Paramatma residing as a localized aspect, they say, inside the heart of every living entity. And the third one is Bhagavan aspect. This is compared to a mundane example of sun itself, the planet itself, sun globe and sun rays. It's normally, you know, Srila Prabhupada compares that. Okay? So, just bear in mind that the void is out. Okay? So, these are the three ones. I just thought I'll tell you. Now, the reason, you know, the deeper reason is after the Buddhist philosophy was introduced by Buddhists for the Lord as an incarnation, as Buddha, Shankaracharya has to come, Lord Shankaracharya came as Lord Shiva to stop the ill effects of this people rejecting Vedas. Okay? So at that time, it is important that Shankaracharya has to come and propagate this impersonal as philosophy at that time. Why? Because the conclusion of all the revealed scriptures prove that Krishna is a person. A person means he should have a form, isn't it? But having known that Krishna is a form, Lord Shiva, in the form of Shankaracharya, has to come and do this task for Lord Krishna. Knowing, although he himself was a devotee. See, it's a very, very complicated. You cannot comprehend this point. You understand? Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna. Under the instruction of Krishna, he has to come and teach a wrong theory that the Lord is only light. And because Shankaracharya has taught that the Lord is only light, who is a form of Shiva, which is misleading people, all his followers became impersonalists and worshippers of Shiva, because they know that Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And therefore, say for example, if Srila Prabhupada says, don't go to Geelong, for example, don't go to Geelong for 1 month, do we not listen to him? We will think, oh, maybe we will not go Geelong. Like that, you know, Acharya says. So this has continued because he has to do the job, because they want people to come back to Vedas. And it's not easy for a people, understanding that there's no Vedas, to come back to Vedas. So he has to do a thankless job of doing a favor as his mission for the Lord, although he was a devotee. For example, if someone tells me, you know, you have to tell them that Rama is more powerful than Krishna, just for this class, you know, or for 1 week, you know, you have to emphasize that Rama is more important than Krishna. It's very difficult. But if it comes from a higher order, we have to do it, right? It's something like that. So he has to do that. And because of that, Shiva has got a lot of impersonalist worshippers. And eventually, it's all mixed and, you know, people are not even accepting Vedas now. People are not understanding that they're spirit soul. And there is a lot of, you know, dilution happening. Okay? Now, all of you are ready for a story? Philosophy is over, okay? Now we have to do some stories. We have to tell some stories. It's easier. Otherwise, you know, too much philosophy means you will not be taking any Mahaprasadam. Because the mind is full, no? The tongue doesn't want anything. So we have to relax. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about variety. Everywhere in the material there is variety. Spiritual also there is variety and all that. But the point I am going to tell you is, even though there is variety in the material world, one will not be satisfied or happy. Okay? For that, there is a small story which has come up in Back to Godhead. Some of you might know, some of you may not know, many years back. This is a story most of you might know, because very good story actually. It is a story regarding crow. Do you know the crow story? Anyone know the crow story? No?
Which crow?
Black crow. Crow story, don't know? It is not that old story. When I was like you, they used to say, there was a crow. It was feeling on a hot day, very thirsty. So the crow went. There was a jar of, you know, there was a jar. There was little water. The crow was putting his beak. It could not reach the water. So if there were small pebbles of stone, it put into that. Slowly, the water raised up due to Archimedes' principle. And they teach Archimedes' principle. Science. And the water came up. The crow drank, happily flew and went away. That is not the story I'm going to tell you. Even though I told the story. But that is not the story. I don't want to tell that story. I am going to tell a different story. Okay? You know the story or no? Now you know two stories. See? One is an old story, my story. And this is a new story, your story. Okay? Once there was a crow. What is the color of the crow?
Black.
Everyone knows now, no? Very smart. Okay, there is a black crow. Anyone seen a white crow? In Australia, no white crow? Everything, you know, the crow is black?
I don't know if every crow is black, but I haven't seen it.
Any white crow, Mataji? No. Because Western country, no, everything is white and fair, so I thought that could be white.
I saw something white, some feathers white in there.
Maybe someone has painted, Mataji.
No, that's where I was coming from.
Because here they do everything, they paint, you know, they unpaint, you know, remove that with a...
Feathers white, feathers.
Just like a nail polish, no? Every day there's different nail. Okay, okay. Maybe next time we should take a photo and see. Let us see. Okay. Now, this crow were very happy, you know, in the forest it lived. or in the area it lived, very happy every day, you know, talking to the friends and drinking water and all that. When it was drinking one day, you know, water, or when it was happy, it saw a parrot. After seeing the parrot, it saw a swan. A swan. When it was drinking water, it saw a beautiful swan coming out. Then when the crow saw the swan, it was feeling very unhappy. It was thinking, I am very black, I am beautiful. Right? But today I saw a swan which is very, very white. Every part is white and beautiful. Oh, I wish I was like the swan. And so, why am I ugly like this crow, very black? And it feels very dejected. Someone is calling, the next crow is saying, come on, forget it, let us go and chant. No, I am not chanting today. Let us go and take prasadam. No, I don't want any mahaprasadam. Because I am not fair. I am ugly. Then it made up its mind. Let me go and find out. What is the reason? I will take the drug and make very fair. You know? Let us go to the chemist shop. Like that we do, you know?
Fair and lovely.
Fair and lovely. Let us try to apply and all that. Okay? You know fair and lovely? Prabhu, we'll not contaminate him, Prabhu. He is a devotee. Okay. So, this crow went to the parrot and he said, see, I have got only one color, black color. But the parrot has got different... why am I saying parrot? My apologies. Thanks, this parrot. This is a very old story, so I forgot. You know? Sorry for that. So, this crow went to the swan and said, listen, I'm completely black. You are completely white. You are looking very nice, beautiful. Oh, everyone is looking at you. When I go, no one looks at me. So, I'm not beautiful. Now, tell me, are you very happy? So the crow asked what? Whom?
Swan.
Are you happy? For that, what did the swan say? Yes, I was until I saw a parrot. One day I was also in a pond very nicely. Then when I was looking at the tree, a parrot came. And it was on the tree. When I saw the parrot, how many colors a parrot has got? Two or three, isn't it? The body is green. The beak is red and all that, you know, two, three colors. So it said, I am only completely white, but the parrot has got different color and it is very nice also. Everyone wants to touch and all that. No one wants to touch me. So I am also stopped chanting now. You know, because when the mind is agitated, people don't want to chant. But our policy is not like that. Whether your mind is agitated, mind will be agitated. Keep on doing your 16 rounds. That is what his friend said. Friend parrot told. He said, no, I will not chant today because I want to, you know, become, do three colors, you know, swan said. Then the crow, the swan told the crow, listen, this is what happened to me. Then the crow and the swan, they thought, okay, let us go to the parrot and find out whether he is happy, you know. Because in the material world, if someone is happy, they don't like it. If someone is upset, then they are my friend. I am also suffering, they are also suffering, we are all friends. Right? That is what the material mind is. So all the two of them went to the parrot and asked them, are you happy? What did the parrot say?
No.
No. I also stopped chanting for a few days because I'm upset. What happened? They said, the other day when I flew into a tree,
peacock.
And down I saw there was a peacock which is multicolored and it is opening the, you know, its tail like this and dancing. All the people are looking. And they're clapping. And they are so happy. And the peacock was very proud, you know, like this, and are walking, and no one is looking, no one wants, I cannot dance like this. My you know, the wing is only small, not like the peacock, you know. Have you seen peacock? Wing like this. But when it's walking, it will be small. Otherwise, it will walk up like this. Yeah? See that? See the peacock. See how big it is. It is dancing for Krishna. Huh? Yeah, the peacock, because of the wing, you know. Because of what you call the... What is the word for that? Feathers and... Okay, so now they thought, okay, you're also not happy. Come on, join the club. They said, we all are not happy. We joined the club. So who are the person who joined the club who are not happy? One is a crow, then swan and parrot. All the three joined. Let us go and find out where the peacock is. Then they went to the spot. Every day they will chant in a place, you know, like Prabhupada room. They went to the place and the peacock is not there. Then they thought, okay, maybe the next place, you know, let us go to the prasadam house. Peacock is not there. Let us go to the kitchen. Peacock is not there. Then they said, what is wrong? We could not locate the peacock. Then they went to the Facebook and said, hey, peacock, where are you? Then they waited for 24 hours. Then the next day, peacock replied, I am in a zoo. Zoo! Please give me the address. The peacock said, you fools, there is only one zoo in Melbourne. Come to that zoo, I'm there. Have you been to the zoo? There is only one zoo, right? So they went to the zoo. In the zoo, when they saw, the peacock has been confined. They put in a room and locked. Then all the three said, who are the three persons? The crow, swan and the parrot. They asked the peacock, see, what happened to you? Why are you? They put you under the lock. They put you in the jail, Melbourne jail. Why? Then the peacock said, one day I was dancing nicely, you know. I was very nicely dancing. One fellow saw me dancing. And then he went and he bought 10 people and they caught me. They put me into a van and took me to the zoo. And now they cross me. Everyone is coming and looking at me and they are making money. Then the crow said, I'm happy that I'm ugly because I don't want to go to the zoo. Right? So the crow initially, he thought that it wants to be happy by becoming good or fair and be happy. But the material world is not like that. Situation will change. And now the same crow is telling, I want to be ugly because I don't want to be caught by anyone. So what do you learn from this? What do you learn, Dhruva?
That the mind is never satisfied.
Satisfied? And there is always anxiety in the material world. Regardless whether you are a crow or a swan or a peacock, you know, like that.
Huh?
Yeah, the pasture is always greener on the other side. It looks, yes, I want to become an IT person. I want to get $80 per hour. But that fellow is having heart attack, working, pressure from the job. Isn't it? This is how the material world is. So what is the safest place to practice Krishna consciousness? What is the safest place?
Melbourne Mahaprabhu
Mandir. Under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. The best place we are there. And there is no better place. There is no one else beautiful than Krishna.
And he's not in the cage.
Yeah, he will give us liberation as Mukunta. So what is the problem? I felt the same thing. Agriva, how old are you? 8 years. When I was 8 years old, when I was in grade 2, right? I used to look at the boys, grade 5 boys. They'll say, hey, where are you? I say, I'm going for my class. See, I'm grade 5. I got 1 day free period. Then I said, oh, when you go to grade 5, you get one free period. For me, when I go to the toilet, my miss will catch my hand. Come on. Like that. You know, this was no freedom for me. Then I went to grade 5. I looked at the person, VC. VC said, 1 day is free because this is an academic day. You know, we are free. Then I said, oh, when you go to VC, you get 1 day free. Then I went to the VC. Then I saw
people for graduation, they said, if you get 3 months, sometimes you don't even go to the college. Or forget about it. We'll study at home. Oh, we can study from home. I didn't know that. Then I went to bachelor's. They said, master's, come on. We work only from home. What's the question of study? And then I did master. Then when I looked at other guys, I said, I'm working now. You know how much I'm working? Getting? I'm getting so much money. I'm getting $5,000. I said, $5,000? Then, when I was working, I thought I was better as a kid with my miss catching me and taking me to the toilet and to the bathroom because too much pressure I grew up. So can I go back? I cannot. Because Bhishma Dev is saying, this time is an irreversible time. When the Pandavas went and saw Bhishma Dev, he said, unfortunately, we are the material world. Time is irreversible. I wish there is not this so much injustice that has been done to the Pandavas. But I can't help it. The time is irreversible. Okay, so with that, we'll conclude. So all of you are happy. Let us go with a happy note. Okay? Because of the philosophy, you are looking very heavy. Then with the story, your heart has become light. Correct? Okay. So we'll stop here. If there is any comments, questions, corrections, quickly, we'll see.
Prabhuji, you said that the Krishna of the reciprocates. If you do
30%,
you will do 30%.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought if you take one step towards him, he takes 10 steps towards you.
Yes.
So he is more than 1%. Krishna's 20% is much bigger than our
20%. Because his steps are big. About 20 steps Krishna, quarter steps he will cover. No?
Yeah.
But that's a different rasa, Mataji. Yeah. That's what I heard, you know, because I know that Krishna is reciprocating with me, but this is a lecture which has been told by Burjana Prabhu.
So he said,
yes, sir.
Krishna is always reciprocating to us. Even when we ignore him, he's still reciprocating us, but he's ignoring us equally.
Correct.
So
it's a very achinta.
It's not a question so much of percentage, it's a question of attitude. That whole verse where Prabhupada translates, as we surrender unto Krishna, he rewards us accordingly. Prabhupada used the word surrender. He translated prapajate as surrender. But prapajate, when you really analyze the word, it's more a relationship. You know, it's far as like as you move towards and...
It's better if everyone listens.
When you analyze that verse where, like my spiritual master explains it, Vinayananda Maharaj explains that when Prabhupada has translated that verse, you know, as you surrender unto Krishna, he rewards us accordingly. He has translated the word prapajate as the word surrender. But our English understanding of the word surrender and the word prapajate is actually like two overlapping circles. Part of the meaning is the same, but there's actually more meaning in the word prapajate than there is in the word surrender. In the word surrender, it's our English understanding of the word surrender. It's like, you know, when you surrender, you know, the army has won and you have to surrender and that's it. You just give up and, you know, and please treat them nicely. But in the word prapajate, it's more like a relationship. So it's like, as I act towards Krishna, he will act towards me. So if I act in ignorance, then he will also say, well, at the moment you don't want to have anything to do with me, so I'll just let you go and do your own thing, and I won't give you my attention either.
And I'll still wait for you.
And I'll still wait for you, yeah, sure. But, you know, I'm saying, again, it's not so much a matter of percentage, it's a matter of attitude. So if our attitude towards Krishna is love, then he gives love. If our attitude is anxiety, you know, I'm always in anxiety, I'm in anxiety, I'm in anxiety. Okay, Krishna says, if you want to experience anxiety, I will give you more instances where you will experience anxiety, because that's what you want.
So that's how he's reciprocating with us.
In terms of attitude.
It's a very important point to understand. Because that, if once we understand that, then we can adjust our mentality and our mood to suit the service, you know, to suit, to become a service attitude.
As favorable to Krishna.
Sorry?
Favorable to Krishna. Which is
yes,
favorable to Krishna.
Favorable to us. Obviously. Because it is in our best interest to be favorable to Krishna.
Thank you, Madam.
So, you know, it's not like a yes or no. It's a sliding scale. You know, and there's love and hate and everything in between. And that's how we are relating to Krishna. Because sometimes we think that we only relate to Krishna when we're doing service in the temple or when I'm chanting my rounds or... But actually, we are relating to Krishna 24/7, 365.
For the devotees.
All the time. Everything we do is a relationship to Krishna. Everything we do is a relationship, is in relationship to Krishna. And so therefore, you know, once we understand that, then we understand that whatever we do, whether I'm sweeping the floor at home, or I'm at the office, or I'm, you know, driving on the road.
Like you're doing now.
Right? And that's how we're relating to Krishna. That's how he will reciprocate with me accordingly. So then we can surrender. And also because, you know, the only thing that Krishna wants from us is love. So even if we wish to perform a service to Krishna, that already means that we have shown love in just the desire of wanting to perform the service. So whether we actually get to perform the service or not, that's up to Krishna. Right? So in that sense, you also sometimes people say, well, how can I be detached? How is that possible? How, you know, I have a desire to do something. How can I be detached from it? But if you understand that, just the very desire to perform the service, I've already offered love there because I want to do it for Krishna. I really would like to do that for Krishna. That's already offering your love. So then, whether I get to do it or not, that's his choice, and then I can just let go. I don't have to be attached to it. Because the very act of performing the service is not important. Not as important as the desire to perform the service and the love to offer in doing the service. And you can already offer that love just by wanting to do it. Does that make sense? So it's always a relationship, so it's not so much a matter of percentage, it's a matter of, you know, it's a matter of relationship, it's a matter of attitude, it's a matter of choosing the right mood.
Mood, yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Thanks, ma'am.
Let's see how you feel. Lord,
yes, Mataji. Hey, give it to Mataji.
The Lord loves it more than we can love
him. Obviously.
Yeah, because see, even if we have no desire or anything, we don't know how to love him. He comes and does so much leela that we get attracted. So he comes to attract us, even if we have got no love for it. And so he's the more, he increases our love. You know, he's so kind.
That's devotees, yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Okay, Prabhu, you want to add on?
Yes.
Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Nithai Gaura Premanandi.